Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Lisa Watson, your host. Welcome to Readers Entertainment Radio. What an exciting night I have tonight. My guest is on hold, so we'll bring her on in just a second. She is a New York Times best-selling author. Was born in the Midwest and grew up being shuttled back and forth between Illinois and Oklahoma, which is where she fell in love with quarter horses and mythology at about the same time. After high school, she joined the United States Air Force and began public speaking and writing. After her tour in the Air Force, she taught high school for 15 years before retiring to write full time. She is a member of the Oklahoma Writers Hall of Fame, an award-winning fantasy and paranormal romance author. Her novels have been awarded the prestigious Oklahoma Book Award, the YALSA Quick Pick for Reluctant Readers, love that name, the Romantic Times Book Reviewer's Choice Award, the Prism, Holt Medallion, Daphne du Maurier, Bookseller's Best, and the Laurel Wreath. She is an experienced teacher, a talented speaker, and she wrote the House of Night novels with her daughter, and it's an international phenomenon. It has reached number one on U.S., German, and United Kingdom booksellers list, and has remained a fixture on the New York Times Children's Series bestseller list for nearly 160 weeks and counting, and has sold more than 20 million copies in print right now, and the rights sold in 38 countries to date, or I'm sorry, 42 countries to date. It is definitely my pleasure to welcome the dynamic PC Cast to the show. Let me bring her on right now. Hey, PC,
Hi,
you
Lisa.
Here? Hey,
yes, I
how
am.
Are you?
Oh my gosh, what a lovely, lovely introduction. I was gasping at my own glory over here.
You're like, wow, I am phenomenal.
Wow, I wrote all those books and won those awards. That's so cool. And I want to apologize. I'm sitting outside right now in my home in the Northwest. It's beautiful, but I'm on a little ridge by my house. By my cool koi pond, and it's the best reception because my home's like a cell dead zone. So if you hear like
minus
blue jays
two.
Screaming at me, yeah, squirrels barking, my dogs yelling, it's because I'm sitting outside. Okay, I apologize, and I apologize to those of you who are still having horrible winters because it's like, oh, it's beautiful here, but I won't talk about that too much. Okay,
that is quite all right because I live in North Carolina, and where I live is kind of. Surrounded by ridiculously tall trees. So cell phone reception at my house, we have a repeater, but even sometimes then it's a little problematic. So,
it
and
is.
I've
it's
got
the
my
huge
little.
Trees. That's right.
Exactly.
And I love it, but so I'll
right.
Deal
it's
with
just
the cell
not
the
cell
zone.
Phone friendly. And no. I understand. I've got my little 12-pound multi-poo sitting right next to me. I just had to close the curtains because he likes to look out the window and bark at people. I'm like, not during my interview. So.
Not now. I know.
Well, BC, it's so great to have you on the show. I mean, you have had an amazing career so far, and it is, looks like nothing but blue skies on the horizon. So for listeners out
you.
There... Oh, you're welcome. So for listeners that, you know, may not know about your work so far, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself, what made you decide to write, and how you and your daughter melded your talents into such a cohesive writing team that we see today?
Wow. Well, I wrote my first book in first grade. It was called Blubby the Blue Whale. It did not get published yet, okay?
Any second now, PC, any second now.
Any moment. You know, yeah, publishers are always like, don't you have more manuscripts underneath your bed? I'm like, I have children's manuscripts. I mean, like, rhyming children's manuscripts that I wrote when I was a child. So my dad and I were talking about this not too long ago, and I cannot remember a time that I could not read or write and
right.
wasn't actively thinking, oh, I'm going to write a book. Okay, I'm going to write a book. I'm going to be a novelist. I'm writing a book. So that's been going on since I wrote Nurse Janice. I wanted that to be in Harlequin Intrigue when I was in eighth grade. Okay.
I'm like, why does this sound like a soap opera?
It was, yeah. And I wrote it, actually, I had like one of those old-time typewriters, those manual
mm-hmm.
typewriters. I realized I was a teenager in the 70s and I was writing it when I was like 13 or so. But I mean, so it wasn't the dark ages, but I still remember that sticky tapey kind of ribbony thing.
Oh,
that
did you have like
my
a
fingers.
Prestige Elite or something?
Yeah, it was like one of those like, chink with the big long
yep.
arms. And I still
I
when I type I still Kristen's always yelling at me. She's like, Phyllis, you don't have to hit the keys that hard. But when you learn to type on one of those manual typewriters for the
right,
rest of your
right.
life, it's like bang, 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 bang. But I've been reading and writing forever. I got really serious about it. Well, I had like a whole life where I had to do everything very difficult ways. I joined the Air Force before I got out of high school.
Wow.
I was a single parent. I started putting myself through college when Kristen was two. It was my 18th book published, chosen, that debuted number two on the New York Times bestseller list. And that was
your
the third
18th?
Book in the House of Night series. 18th book published, yes.
Wow.
I was at the end of my teaching career. My dad and I actually taught together at South Intermediate High School in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Go Tigers. for 10 years, he and I taught together and had a wonderful time. And it was awesome. And I was writing for quite a bit of that time. Actually, when I was teaching high school full time, I was writing for three publishers full time.
Wow.
So when people are like, man, overnight success, I'm like, kind of hysterical laughter. And like, yeah, a really long overnight success.
Right. So see, people out there, sometimes it does take a while. Somebody told me it took her 20 years to be a number one best-selling author. So, you know,
wow, yeah.
It doesn't always
yeah.
happen overnight.
18th book, and then I wasn't number one. Chosen didn't debut number one. It was a little later in the series that four of the books have debuted number one on USA Today. And, of course, you know, lots of bestseller lists and that
mm-hmm.
type of thing. But it's been awesome. It's been very gratifying. And then, of course, my backlist with a lot of fantasy and paranormal romance. Fans have really
mm-hmm.
awakened to that. And that's been lovely for me as well. And Kristen and I actually started our collaboration. Kristen doesn't do any of the writing of the House of Night books. She, from the very beginning, has been my frontline teen voice editor.
Ooh,
and we
nice.
Just kind of fell into it. It was we started writing the House of Night we sold it in the spring of 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And I started writing it. My agent said three very magical words at a romance writers convention in, where the hell were we? I think we were in Reno, or it was really hot. I remember that. And there was a lot of wine involved. I remember that, too, and that's about the extent of my memory. But because, you know, romance writers convention. But Meredith Bernstein, my awesome agent, said three words that changed my life, my daughter's life. She said, vampire finishing school. She said, I'd like to see your next series set at a vampire finishing school. And I said,
wow.
Ooh. I said, yeah. I said, YA. And she said, what is YA? I said, young adult. She said, no. Like nasty college co-ed with S&M classes and bike classes. And
oh, my gosh. And you're like, so why?
And I could do that, okay? I could do it. But I was teaching high school, of course, and I had recently really gotten into some of the modern YA literature. And
mm-hmm.
That was when the genre was really starting to take off. Of course, it's, you know, the huge tidal wave of young adult reading. We have J.K.
Right.
Rowling to eternally thank for that. With the awesome Harry Potter, and she is
absolutely
a wonderful woman and a fabulous story. But it kind of, you know, it built from there. And since I was teaching high school, of course, I was reading,
mm-hmm.
I read everything. And I started reading a lot of young adult. And So when Meredith said that, I immediately thought school, high school, you know, kind of a, and it went from there. And she was like, oh, okay, try the first three chapters and give them to me and let me see. So I sat down at home and started writing the first three chapters. And I didn't think I'd have any trouble because I've been, you know, surrounded, God help me, by teenagers for so long. But what I found when I started writing, my 70s teenager started coming out.
You were channeling that inner 70s.
Oh, my God. I could practically hear, like, staying alive, all that in the back. I was like, my God, what's wrong with me? So I would yell. Kristen was probably watching MTV or something because of her first semester of college, she commuted from home. And I remember, like, yelling down the hall at her, asking her questions like, okay, when I was in high school and you got drunk, not that I did, of course, but but people called it getting shit-faced. And so, allegedly, right. But people called it shit-faced. And so I would yell down the hall and be like, Kristen, I don't think that's the right word today. And she'd go, oh, Phyllis, it's wasted. And I was like, that's right, thank you. And I'd go back to writing. And then I'd be like, okay, so if I want to rev the truck's engine, she said, you gun it. And I'm like, okay.
Right.
And then all of a sudden I was
and
like,
a team was born.
Yeah, I was like, wait a second. Why am I stopping my writing when instead I can just keep writing and send it to Kristen and have her go through it and replace, you know, shit face with wasted. And
right.
So we talked about it, and then we discussed it with Meredith. And my agent thought it was a great job. We sold the series to Jen Weiss at St. Martin's Press, and Meredith called her, and Jen said, I think a mother-daughter team's an awesome idea. Go for it. So
it is
a lot
awesome.
Of trial. It has been. So it's been so awesome. There's a lot of trial and error that went on because I am a habitual rewriter. So I would, like, at the very beginning, that's why it took so long for Mark to come out. It didn't come out until 2007, but we started writing it in 2005 because there was really a lot of stops and starts and changes. And what ended up happening for all the books is that I very rarely even talk to Kristen about the plot, about what's going on. She wants a completely fresh eye. And I would complete the entire manuscript, the whole first draft. And I write consecutively. I start, you know, day one and just write in daily order. I say that. People, there is no correct way to write. It all works.
Exactly, because you really just have to do what works for you, because I know authors that write by scenes and they have to set the scenes first and then they go back and kind of, you know, pull those all together. But me, I am like a page one, day one, and
page one,
I have
page.
To go in order.
Yep. Me too. I get
just,
real
you know,
I
and I look at
it
like, oh my God, how can you do it that way? And they're looking at me like, how can you do it that way?
How do
you know,
do
so
it that
like,
way, yeah.
Whatever works.
No, like my good friend Gina Showalter, the way she likes to write best is she writes an entire first draft by hand. Crazy,
wow.
Gina.
I heard of
she
a
writes
couple
it by
authors
hand.
That still do that.
Yeah, I don't think she and I talked about it. I think she's changed to do her drafts on computer, but for more than a decade, Gina and I have been friends for a really long time. She's way older than y'all think she is, by the way. you are welcome, Gina.
We did not hear that at all, did we, people?
not here. But all different kinds of ways work. And it was just difficult to kind of meld Kristen and me together. I write the entire thing, don't say anything to Kristen about it, hand it to her, and she does exactly what any editor would do. And she actually, Kristen has other editorial credits besides just The House of Night as well. But
I saw.
Kristen goes through it and just marks in the editorial bubbles, only she marks them talking to her mother, you know, things like, she calls me Phyllis because the PC is Phyllis Christine, right? So she's like, sometimes in the editorial bubbles, and my other editors don't do this, okay? In the editorial bubbles, I've had, like, just no, Phyllis, no. No more bodily fluid. Stop it.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, she sounds like my daughter. My daughter's like, well, of course, my daughter's younger. She's 15, but I say things, and, you know, my son is 17, and, like, no, Mom, No one says that anymore.
Please don't say that.
That is cool.
Yeah.
And they're like,
No, you're not, Mom. No. So that's how the House of Night worked out. And it really, I apologize for the plane flying over my head.
That's okay.
I leave blanks sometimes, like, especially about their clothing. Like, you know, I remember one particular time Keith had a puffy jacket on in the scene at the depot where Zoe almost got killed by the Raven Mocker way back. And I think in Hunted, maybe. I don't remember, one of the early books. But I had no clue what jacket it was called, but I knew, you know, in my mind what it looked like because the kids wore them all the time. So I would just leave a blank and put in parentheses, help Mama, fill in this puppy jacket type. You know what it is.
Insert here.
Insert. So she would do that. And then, of course, you know, after just a couple books, I didn't really need any dialogue help at all because then the characters aren't so much teenagers anymore. They're Zoe and Stevie Ray and Aphrodite and Heath and Darius, and they sound like them, not like anyone else.
Right.
So Kristen would be like, man, I don't have much of a job this book. I'm like, go back and reread and dig harder, you know? But that was how the House of Night came into being.
Cool, but before we get wrapped up, two more, and hearing about PC Cast, I'd like to let listeners know that you're welcome to call in. You can ask questions. You can call it 646-200-4071. And after the live show, of course, I will post the recap blog and podcast to readersentertainment.com. And for those listeners that want to check out more about PC as we're chatting with her, you can check out her website at www.pccast.net. So, PC, your latest novel, Redeemed, is book 12 in the House of Night series. Can you tell listeners a little bit about that?
Oh, it's the wrap-up book. It's the conclusion, the gigantic Lord of the Rings-like, epic conclusion.
The intermission in the middle.
And, you know, I started crying about halfway through, too, just like I did in the last movie, The Lord of the Rings, and didn't stop all the way through. Yeah, it's the massive conclusion of the whole good and evil and the nerd herd, and it's actually really important to, before you read Redeemed, to read the novella that was released right before that, Kelowna's Fall. You can, of course, read Redeemed and the whole series without reading the four backstory novellas, but the last two especially, Neferet's Curse and Kelowna's Fall, explain exactly how Neferet became the batshit crazy creature she did become. And it also explains what happened to Kelowna in the other world with the goddess and how he fell and his past. So it just helps fill in blanks. But and I know all my fans are like, is it really the last book? Stop destroying our lives. Well, okay. Yes, right now, it ends the story arc that I planned umpteen zillion books ago and answers all the questions that I had open in my mind and in the plot. Now, I am not going to say that there will never be another House of Night book. It would be interesting to do, I'd be interested to do some backstory novellas, and I know fans have been very vocal about which backstories they would like to read about, and I'm hip to that. I'm fine with that. And also I can really see maybe picking up the House of Night 100 years in the future, you know, after Zoe and the gang are all mature and grown into their lives and their world, and the world has changed and shifted. That would be interesting. But I promise my fans, I will never put out another House of Night book just to make bank, okay? I'll never write a book at all just because, oh, boy, the publisher says this is going to make a lot of money. I do the same thing every book. I write the book I most want to read, and until I have a plot to the book I most want to read, I don't write the book. So right now, I am writing the first book in my awesome new fantasy trilogy, and I am loving it. And so that's where my focus is right now. I would revisit the House of Night
when a story comes to me, but something has to come to me to be told.
Right. Now, PC, what's the one thing you never bargained for when you decided to become an author?
Oh, my God, stalkers, okay? Who knew?
Gosh. You're right about that. Not that I have any, mind you, but I've heard stories, so yeah.
Oh, God. You know, who, I mean, sure, I guess I could recognize my favorite authors, maybe. I don't know, but I wouldn't stalk them, you know, much. No.
Right.
Just kidding, Pat Conroy, okay? Just kidding. Anne Bishop, never mind, okay? I just make, like, my favorite authors my friends. Right, Cressley and Gina? That's right. I didn't really think about that at all, ever. And some cool things I never thought about is one of the best things about being a best-selling author is that you get to meet your literary heroes. I just had one not too long ago with Ursula Le Guin. Yes, I did.
Wow.
Be jealous, people, because she is all kinds of awesome. Yep. So that is like my favorite thing. I'm like, ooh, okay, I'm going to go to this convention.
I am very starstruck most of the time. I will not lie. One of the perks about, you know, helping do the publicity for RT Book Lovers Convention is that I am front and center to a whole heap of people that I read growing up, and it's the coolest thing on the planet to be able to actually meet an author of books that I'm not dating myself at all, but books that I used to read when I was a teenager. I mean, and I started with historical, so, I mean, Barbara Cartland, Joanna Lindsay, Julie Garwood, and the like, and I just kind of went from there, and it was
so
cool.
I'm with you with all three of those, too, man. That's right. I was there. That is so true. But, yeah, it is. It's awesome. And and Lisa Kleypas, I'm putting you on notice. I'm coming after you next, girl, okay?
Now,
but that's
those
the super cool
just,
part about being an author.
True. For those of you just tuning in, oh, my goodness, you've missed a lot, so you have to catch up. We're speaking with New York Times international best-selling and award-winning author PC Cast about her latest novel, Redeemed, which is book 12 in the House of Night series. So I asked this of every author, and I say this every week because it's so cool that I never really get the same answer twice, aside from coffee, but name one thing you've got to have while you're writing and why.
Oh, man, that's so easy. My tread desk. Since 2009, I have been writing and walking at the same time, and it has saved my back. It saved my ass from being huge. It's just saved my creativity. I am so much more productive. Because think about things like when you're writing and you get stuck and you're like, oh, my God. Oh, and so what do? You get up and you make some tea, or you vacuum the floor, or you do, and all of a sudden it's like, bing, 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 that's the answer. Okay, there's something about the process of writing that changes the brain dynamic around and allows creativity to be more productive. And so I don't have to, like last night I wrote for about 4 hours and I wrote 8 pages. That's a lot. That's a lot.
I know, because I'm
sitting
there going,
those
wow.
8 pages, yeah, the 8 full pages too, yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
And I'm a rewriter. So you know, I'm a rewriter, so I don't ever count the pages I rewrite, but I usually pull up about 10 pages before where I left off the night before, and I write at night, and I just start rewriting as I write. So I don't ever count that in my page count, though. But that was about 4 hours of work last night. That would have taken me probably 6 to 8 hours if I had to sit. Plus, my back would be killing me. I'm just a lot more productive. So,
I was surprised. I talked to Stephen James last week, and he said that he writes standing up. He has always written standing up. He never sits down. I'm like, wow.
Yep.
Who would have ever thought to write? I mean,
yep,
not me certainly, but
and you walk.
Wow.
I mean, you walk slow. It's not. It's not this. I'm not jogging. It is a tread. if you go to the website, treaddesk.com, it's all one word, you'll see my endorsement on there. I love the people that run this company, and I've tried several different kinds of brands of Tread Desk, and the original Tread Desk really is the best. For writers, it's the best, I think. But you just walk slowly and write the whole time. It saves your body, and I think it really helps your mind.
Wow. And I am there right now just staring at all. I'm like, ooh, wow, how cool is this?
It's a good, they're not that expensive. I mean, not when you look at what a really good desk and a chair cost. They're not that expensive. So it's worth the investment for sure, authors. It really is.
Now, PC, in your writing career, what's a sage piece of advice that you've received?
Miller, probably 15-plus years ago now. She's the executive director of the Oklahoma Poets and Writers Foundation, and she's become a very close friend. But way, way back then, I took her first creative writing class. I was teaching, and someone told me how awesome she was. And so I took I audited her class, finished my first manuscript. Next semester, audited her second class, finished my second manuscript. She was my deadline. She was my weekly deadline. But she gave me some wonderful advice. She said that you treat it like a job, and I've passed this advice along so much. Treat the career of being author as you would any other job. You have to educate yourself about the process of publication. I mean, I get so many people emailing young authors, how do I get my manuscript published? Would you read it now? And they don't even know, or my book. How do I get my book published? They don't even know it's not a book until it's a book.
Right.
It's a manuscript.
So then
and,
it's a manuscript.
You know, they don't understand the publishing process. If they understood the publishing process, they would know I can't get them published.
Right.
And my opinion on their manuscript doesn't mean squat. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Neither does Aunt Mabel's opinion or Sally's down the street.
Right, or your old elementary school English
husband.
Teacher. Mm-hmm.
No. And the best thing a young or aspiring author can do is to educate themselves on what happens, how a book does get published, the physicalities of it, what deadlines are, the different jobs the different editors do and what they don't do. And, of course, I know that your audience is very savvy, but you'd be surprised how many people think that editors correct their grammar, punctuation, and spelling and turn it into, like, a book. And, of course, we know that editors don't do any of that. They won't even read it if it reads like that. But, you know, it's like, you know, I've always said that I wouldn't walk into a dentist's office and say to a dentist, would you show me how to drill that tooth right there? Come on, I want to be a dentist now.
Right.
You have to
educate
yourself before you take that step. And I don't mean you have to be formally educated to be an author, but you do have to. It really helps if you know the business. So that's
now,
my favorite piece of advice from Teresa Miller, and it works.
Now, we're at about 90 seconds left. I can't believe it flew so fast. And you'll definitely have to come on again so we can just finish chatting, because I didn't even put a dent in the questions I had for you. But I want
to
give you.
I'll be on again. Absolutely.
Cool. I want to give listeners any upcoming events that you might like to share with them and how they can get in touch with you.
Me. I have two of them. The one with the little blue check mark on it is for sure me. Okay. That's the one you know is me. The other one, my friend, you can send me a friend request, but neither of them are private. They're both public, and I usually have 5,000. But as people drop off, I go in and just click, 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 accept, accept, accept. So, and you can send me notes, send me messages through the PCcast one with the little blue check. My website's going to be doing a major overhaul in the next 6 months, so I'm sorry that it's so out of touch right now. Facebook is much better. My blog is much better as well. And also I keep a close eye on the House of Night House of Night Facebook also. I'm really easy to reach through any of those. And upcoming events, I'm going on tour with my daughter for her very first book.
Kristen will be announcing through her Facebook, and I'll be announcing all over, and also through her website, KCAF Author. Right now she's working with her publisher about where we're going, and her mother's tagging along. So we'll be signing House of Night as well as Kristen's awesome first book, Amber Smoke. So that'll be
yay.
In June. She releases June 9th, and so we'll be doing a short tour there. Kristen and I are appearing in Portland at the Barnes & Noble, and I can't remember which one. It'll be on my Facebook, though, really soon, next week, April 15th, for a teacher's event. But I know it's open to the public. So.
Oh, great.
That's
well, PC,
right now,
thank you
and I'm
so
writing,
much.
Writing.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight. It has been such a pleasure having you with me this evening.
Well, thank you, Lisa. It's been a blast. Let's do it again.
Absolutely. And I would like to thank our listeners for joining us here at Readers Entertainment Radio. Don't forget, stop by www.readersentertainment.com. I will be adding PC's recap blog later this evening, so you can leave a comment about tonight's show. We'd love to hear from you. You can check out the podcast that will be available soon. So anyone out there that has missed the show, definitely you can tell your friends about it, tell them to go check it out, and I will be posting on social media as well with the link to the podcast. So I am your host, Lisa Watson.
And Lisa, if you
saying, if, okay, go
send
ahead.
It to me, Lisa, and I'll post
Oh, yeah,
too.
Absolutely.
I'll post too. So,
cool.
Okay.
All right, well, thank you again.
This show brought to you by Circle
evening.
Of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.
Bye, PC.